Wednesday, January 31st, 2007, Upon Further Review, episode number 31. Don't worry, folks. The city of Boston may get shut down by some light, bright cartoon characters, but we here at Upon Further Review are going to keep on trucking. I mean, you know, unless you throw an Easy Bake Oven at us, and then we might flinch. Okay, Upon Further Review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we'd like to welcome everybody back to episode number 31 of Upon Further Review, and say hello to everyone out there. Super Bowl is coming up this weekend on Sunday, so we don't know if you guys have plans for the big game. We don't yet have plans for the big game, but, you know, we imagine that it will involve friends and food and football.
The three F's.
The three F's. I assume something like that will be going on. So we may talk about the Super Bowl next week. That may be possible. But this week we had some other things we wanted to discuss as well. I did want to mention very briefly, I wanted to thank our friend Drum Intellected, who agreed with our rating for Martin Luther King and said that King was perhaps the most important modern civil rights facilitator. And he played parts of Martin Luther King's speech that we played on our last show in his fourth show, which is a show called Opinionated. And I didn't even actually know that he had a show going until I got this email, and okay. It's called Opinionated. You can find it at http://opinionated, O-P-I-N-I-O-N-A-T-E-D, podomatic.com. And we wanted to thank him for giving us a shout out, and we're giving him a shout out back. So go check his show out. I've listened to it a couple times, and kind of cool. It's him, you know, being opinionated, which our friend DI certainly can do. And so that's cool. And the other thing I wanted to mention was to say hello to Shara, who we believe we know very well, who left us a comment about on our holiday episode.
Who we're presuming is my cousin, is what you're trying to say.
I'm assuming so, yeah. Who was talking about a holiday called the Feast of the Innocents, I believe, that they celebrate in Mexico. And she was saying that Christmas has become a really strange hybrid where people, like, you know, have lights and plastic trees and then also go around and ask for presents. And they haven't really put it all together yet, apparently, in the way that we traditionally assume Christmas is. So
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So we wanted to welcome her and thank DI and welcome everybody else for listening.
Greg had a little bit of a tough Sunday because I finally entered the realm of MySpace with my comedy MySpace page.
Yeah.
And Greg
14 profile views. 16 profile views.
No, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is you got really frustrated and angry with MySpace when I asked you to try to help me out with something.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you started swearing about how much you hate MySpace.
Well, you can look at our review, and our review is still accurate because nothing's changed with MySpace. But it's good for Clea's burgeoning comedy career to have it. I just, MySpace. But anyway, yes. So
we're going to do our standard three things today.
That's right. We start out with Cirque du Soleil, which is, well, we'll explain what it is. It's kind of a mixture of different things, and we'll talk about that. And then the second thing we're reviewing is one of Clea's favorite shows, a TV show called The Office. Are we going to talk about British and American versions, or are we just going to talk about the American version?
Yeah, we could talk about both.
Because Ricky Gervais, who did The Office, has a big podcast thing, too, that he does. So that's all, you know, connected with the podcasting community. And then last, we're going to finish off with Rocket Boom. This is the second in our series of women-hosted, female-hosted podcasts, or vidcasts, I should say, that we've been asked to review. And we're going to do that to conclude.
Okay.
All right. So let's start out by talking about Cirque du Soleil. And you can find the website for this group at www.cirquedusoleil.com. That's CirqueDuSoleil.com. And Cirque du Soleil, which means in French, Circus of the Sun, is a circus troupe.
It's a French-Canadian circus troupe.
They started in Montreal. And it was a group that started back, I think, was it 1984? I think it was 85 because
you know
we were at that 20-year performance.
Long ago. Yeah.
And they do a series of traveling performances. They have a couple of set shows too. They have one in Vegas, for example.
They have two in Vegas.
Oriented around different themes. And each one of their performances will normally go maybe 2 hours, something like that. Mm-hmm. And they have athletic performances. They have contortionists. They have trapeze artists. They have people who do hoops and, you know, tightrope walkers and things like that.
It's a lot of the standard circus stuff. If you ever seen Chinese opera, it's a lot of standard Chinese opera type circus stuff. No animals,
which is
no huge feats. It's focused very much on being quite a spectacular show of gorgeous costumes, gorgeous music, gorgeous people, and just everything fitting together, and then it being very French Canadian and its kind of avant-garde way of portraying certain things. And so we've seen, how many shows have we seen? We've seen like five,
is it that many? It'll be four or five, I guess. We saw we saw Kidam, we saw Cordio, we saw Jalion, we saw Allegria, and we saw Varakai. So we've seen five. That's right. Is that all?
I guess that's so, all the ones we've seen.
That's the we saw Mystère too, didn't we? Didn't we see Mystère?
I don't know if we saw Mystère.
Maybe not. We've still got Nuba, which is a set one, and Zumanity, which is one in New York, and Ka, which is the one, another one down in Vegas.
Yeah, there's two in Vegas. One of the more famous one in Vegas is the one where it's water based,
which is called O.
Right. Their acrobatics in and out of the water, which I guess is quite spectacular. And if we ever make it to Vegas, we'll go see.
They opened up a new one, actually, in Vegas. I think it's three now, Clea, because they opened one up that's called About Love. That's the Beatles one. That I remember hearing a thing when they were talking about it was all based on Beatles music and
so
stuff, which
three?
Is also in Vegas. Yeah. Well, the Beatles one is in Vegas. O is in Vegas. And then this one, Ka, is at the MGM Grand in Vegas. And actually, Mystère right now is at Vegas, but I don't think that's permanent. It says resident shows.
Wow. So they have four in Vegas.
Four shows in Vegas. They've got one in Florida. That's the Nuba. And then Zumanity's in New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The Zumanity one is the one where it's just mainly the music, right?
No. That's Delirium, which is down here.
Why haven't we seen
music.
Zumanity then if it's stationed in New York?
Well, how do I put this delicately? Zumanity is kind of adult. And so
So why haven't we seen it?
Well, I've been planning something about it maybe soon. I just didn't want to talk to you about it.
So anyway, a lot of people like it. They think it's quite breathtaking. It's quite surreal.
Yeah.
We've loved some. We've thought some were pretty good, and we've thought some were good.
Yeah.
I've thought some were okay.
We haven't thought, I don't think we've thought any of them were bad, though.
None of them were bad.
And
some of them had some moments where like, okay, can we pick up the pace here?
Yeah.
Or
and there were some
with the fake snow blowing, clown who's taking like an hour to walk across the stage.
Well, that's what's interesting is like what I really like about these shows is that they're really kind of an artistic whole. I mean, the music really, they're really beautiful in a lot of ways. And there's a kind of, they're performative, you know, there's a performance going on, and there's always a theme which holds together the show.
Right.
And for example, in Kidam, it's about this one girl who's been lost in this, you know, has gotten lost in her own world because of someone, she's having problems in the real world. And so she gets taken to this place in Kidam where there are all these magical creatures, and she learns through that how the real world actually has some good things to offer her. And so there's a lot of that stuff that goes on, which I really like because I think it separates it from other just sort of standard circuses and things like that. And the other thing it does, I think all the performers buy into it. You know, I don't think, I've never seen a show where I see some people where they're not committed in some ways to what they're doing. And that's, of course, the second thing. These people are ridiculously talented at what they do. I mean, like a lot of the stuff literally is death defying. A lot of the stuff is extraordinarily impressive.
A lot of it's very standard acrobatics, actually.
Yeah, Clea's less impressed with this than I am. I think
because I've seen a lot of acrobatics and I've seen Chinese opera. I mean, these people can do amazing things. There's 50 million people in the world that can do them. But again, going with the more important point that I think that Greg was really trying to make is that yes, they're so famous now that they can get the best of the best, and these people are very dedicated to the show and get very much into it. It's a real troupe performance, and so there's always 150% energy from there.
Yeah, and they have great respect among the professional community. Remember our friend Jeff, who does trapeze. You know, you talk to him about Cirque du Soleil, and he says yes, these people are great. And, you know, it's not as if they're just hype is the point. I mean, they're really
good. He also finds the women quite sexy.
Well, that's
of course, also,
you know,
a slightly biased on his opinion.
And we also really like the music, especially on a lot of the shows. For example, on Kidam, they often have a pair. They'll have a man or a woman. But in Kidam, they had a countertenor.
That was in Jalion.
It was?
It was in Jalion, yeah.
Well, the Stella thing was in Kidam, though.
No, it was in Jalion.
It was?
Yeah.
You sure? Okay.
Yep. Because we have the soundtrack for Jalion, and it's one of my favorite soundtracks. If you want to buy one, you know, get the Jalion soundtrack.
And the range on this guy is unbelievable. I mean, and countertenors, of course, are supposed to have great range, but this guy also, a lot of countertenors will sing in a high range and you can barely hear them, and right. not a problem with this guy. So, right. I mean, really, really impressive.
If you play,
so,
like, I think it's like track one and then track three, you'll hear him go from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, and so every aspect of the show reflects that. The production values, as Clea said, the costumes, the tent itself, you know, when you get up to there, it's inside a big tent, but, you know, even that has some kind of sort of mystery to it. There are also clowns, but they're not, they're often not your standard, you know, blow up some balloons and
the
throw
standard
them at
French
your clowns.
Clown, you know.
They're standard French clowns, which means that they're wildly variable. Sometimes the clowns are very good, actually, and they're really interesting. Sometimes they're not that funny, or at least we just don't get it.
Yeah, or just like, yeah, move on.
But I love the way that different parts of the shows reflect themes in other parts of the shows. Mm-hmm. You know, like they'll bring out a balloon at the beginning of the show and they'll play with that so that later in the show you'll have a huge balloon like floating around the stage, mm-hmm. which is a variation of what you saw earlier. Right. So I really like it.
LaCordio was the one we just saw most recently, and that's the one that's about a clown that dies. And so it's everyone, kind of all the other people in the troupe, coming to pay their respects.
And it's not sad. I mean, it does. I mean, you know, it's a little, you know, wistful a little bit, but it's not really sad.
But this one's been quite a to-do because it has some small people in it, and a small woman gets in a huge balloon.
Yeah,
and she's kind of has it around her, tied around her waist, and then she's kind of literally flying through the air.
Yep.
And the audience members get to kind of push her back up into the air. And
it's wild,
And she is quite a wonderful character. Too, the way she acts. So anyway,
it's well directed. And by the way, I note here that it's international, not only in Canada, but they're coming to France. They're going to be in the UK. And for our Australian listeners, lest you think we never talk about anything that refers to you, Varakai, which we've seen, is coming to New Zealand. It's coming to Canberra and Melbourne and Adelaide and Perth. So you'll be able to see
Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, this year.
January
so
through.
Buy tickets for our Australian listeners. Check these people out. They're
so
good.
The thing we recommend is to go to the website and get on their email mailing list.
Yeah.
And then you'll find out when they come into town, and you also can get tickets when they first come out. You can get them cheaper and you can get better seats.
Called the Cirque Club.
Cirque Club. Yeah. So that's how we usually find out when they're coming into town, and we can get the tickets, because they can get pricey if you wait too long, or if you try to get the really, really nice tickets.
And they're pricey anyway, let's be honest.
They are fairly pricey anyway. You know. The range, what's the range? Is it like $50 to $200 or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's expensive. And also if you get DVDs or if you get other stuff, like, it's pricey, but you know, it's not
they
something
have
you go
a beautiful,
to all the time,
like,
you know?
Beautiful items too that you can purchase online or in the tent that are
and it's
quite
tempting
nice.
You're like, oh, I get to tempting. Play with these this Jester hat.
I've never been a girly girl, but they have this gorgeous purse that I really was tempted to get, and then I looked at the price tag, it was like $200. I was like, okay,
like, nope.
my best friend Catherine was like, I'll get it for you, and I'm like, no honey, it's $200. She's like, oh,
I won't get it for you.
But and then they also have this special ticket that you can buy where you get to have, like, you get treated extra special right before and during and all that kind of stuff too. I forgot what that's called, but anyway, I mean the price of it, I think, is tough.
I agree, it's
you know,
the price is a problem.
It's the consistency is, if you are someone who's never seen anything like this before, you should try it, because you will either go, oh my god, that's so not me. You could go, you could you know, see a little clip of it, and then if you think that maybe you might like it, go and see it and you'll love it. If you see the clip and you're like, okay, fruity tooty, and that doesn't interest you at all, then you know it's not for you. But for people that have seen Chinese opera, have seen lots of acrobatics, it's not going to be something that's going to take your breath away, but it's still going to be a very gorgeous, gorgeous show, and it's worth seeing one of them at least once.
And obviously Clea had seen some of this kind of thing before. I had not, but I've now seen five of these shows, so I think I can officially say I've seen it, and I still think it's great. So I agree the price is a problem, though. I would be tempted to rate these guys a 9 out of 10, though. I think Cirque du Soleil is great. I've gotten inspiration from them for stories and novels and ideas and music.
The Cirque du Soleil, for I think about a year, had a Cirque du Soleil show that they were putting on. I don't know if that didn't make it or if it's still going on.
Oh, a TV show, right. On Bravo or something.
Right, where they would come up with a story. Like, I think it was like a 30-minute episode or something like that.
Yep.
Where it had a whole storyline. But what it was really, if you had seen Cirque du Soleil, you would know that it's a series of their acts. So they took the ball guy from Der Lion, and they took this this tightrope walker from that, and then they mixed them all together and, yep. and you working them into a story. So you might have seen that. That was good. But I don't think there's anything like seeing it live.
Yeah, and it really is an experience. And kids, you can bring kids to it. That's fine. But please, when you bring your kids to it, please make sure that they realize this is a show. We yeah. went to one of them where we had people behind this. I kid you not, during the show where they're doing all these amazing things and everyone's oohing and aahing, the people behind us were like, look at the guy on the trapeze. Isn't that amazing? I was like, yeah.
I mean,
like,
if
this
you
is not...
take your kids to a matinee and then yeah. the rest of us can know that you're
that
going
to that was the parents
the
saying that, not the kid.
No, I know that.
You know, the kids,
no,
the
I know
parents
that.
Were the
well,
ones being obnoxious.
But parents
you know?
Want to try to make sure their kids are enjoying
know, but,
it, honey.
You know.
I mean, if you want to do that, fine, but this isn't the Big Top. This
no.
is an artistic
it's a performance.
Show. So
yeah.
if you could keep it tight-lipped, that'd be nice.
And keep it real.
All right, I want to give it an 8.
You want to give it an 8 because of
the expense.
Yeah.
It's a little bit over the top.
That's fair
it's
enough.
Become a little bit commercialistic.
That's fair enough. I suppose that's true.
Do you like that word? I said commercialistic.
I like that.
I like that. That's nice.
You wouldn't have gotten that if it wasn't for Cirque du Soleil. So I think you should raise your rating.
8.
All right. 8 out of 10 for Cirque du Soleil.
So now okay. we get to talk about The Office.
All right. Why don't you talk
Yay.
About The Office? You can find this at www.nbc.com/the_office.
There has to be a better explanation.
How did he afford that new waterbed he's always bragging about?
He charged it. Discover. Made a little cash back on the deal. Smart. If he were a general in the army, and you accused him without proof, you would be court-martialed in front of a firing squad.
That's not true.
Okay, watch A Few Good Men and tell me that that's not true. I own it on DVD if you want to come by later. You can't handle the truth. Just kidding. You can't.
So I don't remember when they originally came out with the English version. I don't remember when that came out. But I think they had maybe one or two or three episodes in England. And then I think it ended, right? I think it ended, or is it still ongoing?
It did. No, I think it's still going.
Yeah. And then they decided to do it in America.
Yeah, it's
and
on
so,
BBC in the UK.
Okay. And pretty much a lot of the basic concept is the same. It's a paper company, and you have the cast of characters that work in this paper company. You have the manager, you have the, and then the different workers, one of them being the secretary, and then the other people playing different roles in the office, and mm-hmm. interactions of them. But it's a comedy, so it will speak to events that kind of can happen in the business world and happen in relationships and happen in daily life. But it obviously will do it in a kind of over the top comical fashion.
Right.
But one of the great things about this is that they do it as if the camera is if they're coming in and just watching them like a documentary. So sometimes they'll talk to the camera, they'll look at the camera and kind of make a face or something like that. And it's really quite brilliant. It works really well. But a lot of the storyline and character development has been somewhat similar in the English version to the American version. So there's some similarities there. But in both, it's worth seeing both. I mean, obviously, the English one, for those of you that like English humor, you'll like it. I mean, you have to know some of the slang, you have to know some of the references, and you have to be comfortable with English comedy, the way English comedy is done. There's a different timbre, there's a different presentation, there's a different persona. But I find it still funny. I love English humor. And then the American Office is more kind of the standard American humor. So it does the same, a lot of the same things that really work in the English version, but it does it for American audiences.
And for people who are podcasters who know Ricky Gervais, Ricky Gervais is a guy who did a big time podcast that was well known because he actually syndicated it. He actually had people paying for episodes of his podcast. And his big claim to fame is that he created The Office in the UK and then brought it over to America and is the producer of the show here.
And he's the one that did The Night in the Museum, right?
Ricky Gervais?
The one that we saw in The Daily Show? He was on The Daily Show. He used to work on The Daily Show with
Jon really?
Stewart.
Oh, yes. I didn't know that. Okay.
And he wrote and starred in The Night in the Museum that recently came out. I don't remember the title.
That's right. That's right. Night in the Museum. No, that's
yeah.
right. With
and
Ben
he
Stiller.
Has,
yeah.
He's also come up with two
that's
HBO
right, yeah.
specials. One of them is called The Extras. That's on its second season right now.
Yeah, that's right.
And the first season where it is him just being an extra. And this season is him being, he got an actual gig on a sitcom. And every episode has some star that that comes in for a cameo.
So he knows what he's doing, basically.
Yeah, he's quite good. Although he seems to be one of those people that will be quite comfortable with riding a wave and then ending it when it's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's rumored that he'll probably end Extras, even though it's working quite well, after the second season or possibly the third.
Yeah, so he's one of those guys who wants to move on, which I guess is better than,
I mean,
know,
obviously he has a lot of creativity.
Welcome, yeah. Cleo watches this show much more than I do, but I do think it's funny, and I've watched a couple times. The thing that makes The Office to me is not so much the writing, which I think is okay. It's the actors.
Definitely.
And the main guy who plays the boss of this office is a guy named Steve Carell, who just
actually... He was in The 42-Year-Old Virgin.
Which was a huge hit.
He was in Little Miss Sunshine that just came out.
Yep.
Awesome movie. I should rate that movie, but oh my God, I love that movie.
And he won a Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Comedy. The reason that he's so good is that he somehow manages to portray this guy who's just smart enough to make it seem as if he knows what's going on, but really is completely clueless. I mean, like he has a perfect mixture of, you know, he says things that are incredible. Like, he says racially insensitive things all the time without meaning to. He's just a goof, but he does it in some way
that you can find both annoying and endearing
and appealing in some way. Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's even better than the writing of the show. I think the writing of the show is fine, but I think the acting of it is what actually makes it.
Right.
And they'll periodically bring people on that are reasonably well-known comedians, like the guy from The Daily, who used to be on The Daily Show.
Well, most of the people in The Office are people that used to be in The Daily Show.
At some point or another? Okay.
Yeah.
So
there's a few people that I had never seen before. I'm sure they've done things. In the English version of The Office, you might see some people that you've seen before. Obviously, the main guy that we're just talking about, the producer, then also the lead guy. I know I've seen him, although I can't think of what I've seen him before. The lead woman, she has been in a lot of different English. She was in, if you ever, for the women out there, if you've seen the BBC Pride and Prejudice,
yeah.
She was in that. And then for us Pirates of the Caribbean fans, one of the pirates, the guy that has his eye that continues to drop out, he's in The Office. The English version of The Office, quite good as well. They're all great. So I, of course, you know, I would love to give this... You know I would love to give this a 10, don't
no,
you?
No, this is not a 10.
But I'll give it a 9.
I don't really think that it's so beyond belief hysterical that it deserves a 9. I think it's fine. I mean, it is funny. It's funny. It definitely is funny. I like the acting. I think it's clever. I don't know that it extends beyond the norm. You know, like, if I think about sort of genius comedies, I don't know that it fits up in that description. Like, I would give All in the Family would be 10 out of 10 for me, right? And, you know, like, Seinfeld might have been in the 9 out of 10 category. So it's hard for me to put The Office there. But, you know.
Well, you know, I think that's because it is a particular form of comedy that you either
it's okay.
Don't get, or maybe you get some of the time. And I think for Greg, it's sometimes it's a hit or miss. For me, it's that quirky kind of sense of humor and wit that I just think is brilliant. So, but yeah, I want to give it a 9. So what are you going to give it?
I would give this an 8. And I think since I came down to you on Cirque du Soleil, I think
you think this is an even relationship?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, an 8 then.
Okay, so an 8 out of 10 for The Office. You should check it out. It is pretty funny. It's on NBC on Thursdays at 8:30.
Okay, last but not least is our second female vidcast from, what was the guy's name again that sent us the email?
Douglas Elliott.
Okay.
So Doug, we're fulfilling our pledge to
fulfilling
you. This is our second of two. I'm sorry that we didn't get the Web 2.0 stuff in there, but that's because I don't really understand it yet. So
he wants us to review Web 2.0.
Well, I don't know. He said they're all Web 2.0 compliant.
I thought he gave us 6 vidcasts and we did 2 of the 6. So hopefully that's
I do not this crazy language.
Right,
so
right.
I don't know.
So unless, hopefully he's satisfied. If you're not, email us and we'll see what we can do.
Right. So this is rocketboom.com. Rocketboom. You can find this at www.rocketboom, rocketboom.com.
Joanne, I've foreseen you coming.
Oh, you got my voicemail.
Imagine your mind is a snow globe. And the snow globe's all shaken up. The flakes are everywhere. Keep your snow globe still and allow your thoughts to settle. The classic Obi-Wan Anakin right there.
A amazing. You know what, though? I think I have quite a lot of work to do because the snowflakes aren't settling. It's all shaken up in here.
It takes a little while, but this comes with any new art. This really is a martial art. It's a sword form, and it's gaining a lot of popularity. So
I know. It doesn't feel so gimmicky.
No, it's not.
It's not very gimmicky. It's not kind of as geeky as I thought.
No, people laugh at us when they see us practicing, but once they get one of these things in their hand, they actually see how fun it is. You've been watching Rocket Boom.
And this is a vidcast which airs daily and may be well known to some people out there because originally it was hosted by a woman named Amanda Congdon, who then left Rocket Boom, and there was all kind of controversy as to why she left. Some people said that her producers kind of forced her out because she wasn't really, I don't know, the ratings weren't high. It seems sort of silly to talk about ratings in regards to this stuff, but for some reason she had turned some people off. Some people said that she was really good, but people felt threatened by her. So it's not clear as to why, or maybe some people said she just left on her own. So it's not entirely clear as to why she left.
Maybe she was abducted by aliens.
That could be, but then we've seen her since then, so she's been around. Although that could be just a put
on. It's a replacement.
They made a robot, yeah. It was like that thing in The Last Starfighter. Anyway, so the new person is this British woman named Joanna. And I guess essentially the way to describe it is it's kind of, I guess it's a daily news / culture magazine where they'll have, and it goes all the way from, they have correspondent reporting from villages in Kenya that have had houses burned and destroyed because of fights over illegal liquor distribution to this one where she went to the Jedi Enclave in New York and played with lightsabers. And by the way, can I just say, if anyone out there happens to be a dealer of these lightsabers, I would love to get a hold of these lightsabers. This is about
like
the
fun.
Coolest thing ever.
And they do it in New York at Union Square, so Greg and I could take lessons.
Yeah, it would be awesome. And so there are all those kinds of things that she talks about. And each one runs maybe about 4 minutes, 5 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is that we'd love to be able to tell you about the different topics of them, except that what they have on the Rocket Boom site in their archive section are still shots captured from each of the shows, which means that, okay, so we saw the two people with the lightsabers.
So we clicked on that
one. It was interesting. But it's like, and I mean, here's Rosie from the Jetsons, so I guess that could be cool. But I mean,
I don't know how
you
got to
at least put a line underneath it to say this is like at least the date, like when
at
this was originally released.
At least the date,
released.
If not a line of the topic.
It's pretty, you know, it's a pretty mosaic.
Yeah,
you know,
it's quite nice. Like, it's like a little quilt.
It's like the 2000 bloggers thing, which I'll talk about later, which is a mosaic of faces too. But it's like a mosaic, but it's still weird to try to, you know, get a hold of an episode. But
yeah, I don't know why they would do.
So
it
what do you
way.
Think of her, Clea? We talked last week about
she's engaging. I think that she is a little bit more easy to follow than the one that we reviewed last time. I don't think she's quite as quick. I like her. I found it interesting. It covers something in particular. I did see one in there where I thought it was a little dorky.
Yeah.
It was like she's talking about something and then, oh, and then something falls from the ceiling. And, you know, it's like it's
a little goofy.
A little goofy and a little off, so I didn't find it funny. But, you know, I mean, I think it's really successful for what it's trying to do.
And I guess, you know, one of the things that I would say about it is, and I think, I apologize for this, I don't know if Rocket Boom was with Podshow and got dropped or has now been picked up by Podshow or what. I don't know. I don't see Podshow stuff all over the place. So it's possible that one of the reasons that now that Joanne, that when she came in, they just decided not to do a Podshow connection. I don't know. But I know that Rocket Boom is relatively well known and that a lot of people watch it because it's quick and it's easy to watch and it carries, you know, it covers such a wide range of things. In fact, I would wonder a little bit if it covers so much of a range that, you know, it's almost difficult to figure. I mean, we've been accused of that before on this show about like too many subjects.
Well, but see, no, because her complaint is that we cover too many subjects within one episode.
Right.
While they don't do that so much, they cover one topic and then next week could be something completely different. But I like what you said about it's like a video culture magazine. I like that. It's like, you know, the 5 minutes and it tells you something for that day. And I think that that's really cool.
Some of it is sort of a different takes on mainstream news. Some of it is obscure news.
Right, exactly.
You know, like they talk about America banning the importation of Vegemite from Australia, which will make Aaron very, very happy. The guitarist in my band hates Vegemite. And we had a discussion with our friend Wayne, who, if he's listening, hi Wayne from Hong Kong, who told him, oh, no. All you need to do is put a thin spread of Vegemite in the bread. And Aaron's like, yes, that's because it's terrible, so you don't have to taste Vegemite. So anyway, they talk in this show about how they banned the importation of Vegemite. So the point is that, you know, they talk about a variety of different things, and that's intriguing and interesting. And I guess that's true. I guess if you're just looking for something which is totally different, you're going to get that. I don't think any show is like the next show from one day to the next in terms of what they're covering.
Yeah, so I think that's great. And this one we were able to make work on my pocket PC.
Yes.
You were able to put it on, and I was able to totally watch it and listen to the whole thing.
Cool, there you go. Yeah, and the other thing I'll say is, once you get past the fact that I don't know which show is which because of the mosaic thing, below each of the episodes, they have, you can watch the format in QuickTime, you can watch it in Windows Media Player, mm-hmm. you can download it to your phone, you can download it as an MP4, you can TiVo it, you can actually put, like, they have a couple that are in high definition, apparently, so you can watch in high definition video. So there's a lot of different options that they're looking at in that way as well. It's not clear to me if this is distinct enough of a product that it's like, I almost wonder how you would market this to somebody. Well, it's quirky and different news, but not always in video form. I'm not sure, but I
think, what do you mean not always in video form?
No, in video form, I said.
No, you said not always in video form.
Well, no, I was saying quirky news, but not always quirky. And then in video form. And, like, you know, I'm not sure entirely how you would market or sell that, but, I mean, that's not our problem. I mean, if we like it the way it is. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It's a little...
I mean, it's like The Daily Show does these little blurbs, you know, whenever they have, like, the...
Yeah, but you know it's basically political, though. It's a political show, basically.
No. When the journalists go out and do something, they'll have journalists talking about, you know, baby names to selling...
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
You know, donating... pretend, you know, toy guns to kids in Harlem. I mean, they're all over the place.
I guess so.
I mean, it's kind of like that. It's like saying this is some news thing, that insignificant news thing that we wouldn't hear about in the mainstream, and that's why I really like it.
Okay. And you also like the fact that you like the host, and she's not annoying, and...
Yeah, I mean, I find her just a little dorky sometimes, you know, in what they do, but, you know, it's a little... It's not quite... It doesn't seem quite as real... Mm-hmm. As the woman, the last one, it seems a little bit like she's being
more staged,
quirky news reporter.
I see.
But, you know, it didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't mind the fact that it's a news clip or news clippy, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of got that same, because you said about the other one that it sort of has, you know, that it's got this feel where it's constantly giving you sound bites. You don't feel like that's the case with this?
No, because it seemed to be like kind of one topic
they could get into.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So what do you want to say for rating?
7.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Okay. I'd say a 7 for that as well.
Please, if they do hear this, please change your archives so we can actually...
Yeah, at least just add something to it. Even if you, like, mouse over it and, like, see a date pop up,
cool.
That would be cool.
That'd be fine. Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, is going to sum up the show for us today. And I wanted to say one other thing as well, very quickly, which I had forgotten to mention. And that is that we have been included, Clea, in the 2000 bloggers list. This was the brainchild of a guy called Tino Buntic, who put together a list of 2,000 bloggers. If one of you wonderful people submitted us, I really appreciate it. I have no idea how we got on there, but because we're not really a blog, we're a review show. But anyway, we'll take it. And it means that what it means is that all of the bloggers who are in the 2,000 bloggers list, of course, because bloggers are, you know, like this, posted. They're like, oh, guess what? I'm in the bloggers list. So that means that our Technorati ranking, you know, where like everyone, how many links you have to how many blogs, has skyrocketed because I obviously put it up there as well because, you know, so the 2,000 bloggers, cool, and thank you for including us, and go check it out. I've actually posted it on our webpage, so you can look and click over to that site. And then the other thing is the podcast peers thing. We are closing in on the final nominations, apparently. I guess the next couple of days are going to close nominations. And it looks like there's going to be 3 or 4 shows that are going to make it into the final round for public service, which is really cool.
Okay.
And so we're going to be listed as one of the people in public service, and hopefully the public will think we did them a service and will vote for us when we get there. So if you're a podcaster and want to cast a vote for us, we would certainly appreciate that. You can find them over at podcastpeers.org. So I think that's it for this week.
That's it. Stay warm, everyone.
That's
unless
right.
you're in it's where it's warm, then
if you're in Australia, for example, then stay cool. And either way, stay tuned. We'll see you guys next week. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
Bye.
The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!